Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Do you agree that all children in Texas, regardless of race, class, gender, or national origin, that they all deserve to fulfill their potential and have the opportunity to thrive? I think everyone in Texas could pretty much get aboard that idea. But once again, Texas is among the lowest ranked states for overall child well-being, ranking 43rd among the states in the nation and 48th for the children's healthcare alone. That's according to the 2024 Kids Count data book, looking at all 50 states. We're joined by Coda Rayo Garza, is a research and data director at Every Texan, the local arm for the Kids Count effort. And Coda, welcome back to The Source.
Hi, David. Thank you so much for having me.
So again, this report shows that Texas, not only are we doing great, but we seem to be doing worse in many of these categories. First of all, tell us about Kids Count. What is this idea? What is happening with that?
Absolutely. So the NEKC Foundation on an annual basis produces a data book to track overall child well-being across all of the nation states. As you mentioned, we are the arm, extended arm for Texas for this project. And so every year, the NEKC Foundation looks at four different themes. Each of those themes gets a score, and that score is based off of four individual data points or metrics. And so those themes are economic well-being, education, health, and family and community context. And Texas, as you mentioned, our overall score this year is a score of 43, and it has really just sort of remained within the lower ranks for many, many years. And so the NEKC Foundation has been tracking child well-being for decades. And so we're able to get a glimpse of how we are progressing across different indicators and across different themes.
So this 50-state data examination, you're looking at many of these problems that are absolutely linked to poverty. I mean, we can see across the state of Texas that there are many families that are struggling. We hear chatter coming from the people who run the state about the Texas economic miracle, but the reality is that miracle and the abundance that is generated by the Texas economy is not evenly distributed, and we're seeing that reflected in this data. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct, David. If you look at the four different indicators that we track for economic well-being for children in the state of Texas, what we see is that across those four, three of those indicators remain the same. They were not moved there. They did not budge. That includes the percentage of children living in poverty. That includes children whose parents lack secure employment. Compared to 2019, that number has remained at 25%. And teens that are not in school and not working, often referred to as disconnected youth, that number has remained the same. And then for the last indicator across economic well-being, which is children living in households with a high housing cost burden, that actually worsened. So what you're saying is absolutely right. We hear a narrative about Texas's economic prosperity, but when we actually dig in and disaggregate data, you know, when we look at disaggregating by age, so looking at children, we look at race, ethnicity, we are able to really uncover, who is actually benefiting from the so-called economic prosperity of the state, and the data is pretty clear here for Kids Count and for these metrics, which is that we're not doing very well, which is why we're coming out at the rank that we are across the country, very low, not not showing signs of making progress in terms of reducing the number of children living in poverty, expanding employment opportunities for children so that they can obtain that economic mobility they need, and as well as, you know, the number of disconnected youth across the state.
Our call-in number, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. What's your reaction to hearing about this Texas Kids Count report showing that, again, Texas is among the lowest-ranked states for overall child well-being? What does this mean, you know, since we do have those people who are cheerleaders, boosters for the overall economic performance for the state of Texas, and they're all giddy about, you know, all the billions of dollars that are being generated by these Fortune 500 companies for, you know, their constituents. But what does this mean for the future of that overall economic success for the state? Because, you know, the economic success of Texas hinges on the well-being of the children and youth. And if these children and youth are not being given the opportunity to do well in school, or they're, you know, chronically absent, we're not investing enough to get them back in school after COVID. We're still dealing with that. If they don't have, you know, they're still dealing with trauma and of extreme poverty, you know, what does that mean for the future of Texas?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, David, because, you know, when we talk about the future of the state, and we, you know, if we want to talk about the future economic picture of the state, then we need to talk about the future workforce, and that is the children now. And specifically within the education theme of the report, what we know is that the number of eighth graders that are not proficient in math actually worsened by not just a couple of percentage points, but in 2019, 70% of eighth graders were not proficient in math, and that number, that updated number based on 2022 data, is 76%. Three of the other data points that we track for education, fourth graders not proficient in reading, that remained the same. And this is sort of an issue that doesn't just go back to 2019 and can't solely be attributed to the COVID pandemic. It's been a decline in proficiency. And so, you know, what policymakers, what leaders, community leaders need to really focus in on is that the future economic prosperity of the state is going to depend on that workforce. And right now, we're not doing a great job as a state investing properly in children to prepare them to be able to meet the demands of the future workforce, which include what we, you know, what the Texas Workforce Commission considers high growth, high demand jobs. A lot of them require, you know, higher education, technical skills. What this data is telling us is that we are not setting up a pathway for these children to be able to fill those roles.
And if you're an employer, you're already seeing this problem, the squeeze that it's putting on you, people who come in looking for work or just not qualified for some basic task, because the investment in our schools has been lacking for so long. And now it's, you know, never been greater. You know, State Representative Steve Allison, Republican, just had an op-ed in the paper in San Antonio the other day calling for a special session for that we can fund our public schools properly right now. And of course, those words will go nowhere, but we're just not funding the schools at the level, public schools, that will create the next generation of success for the state of Texas. The connection between the lack of funding for public schools and what you're seeing in the kids count, what do you see?
That's 100% correct. I think that, you know, what we're hearing a lot is a narrative around schemas and alternative options that aren't going to address at the root of the issue, which is exactly what you said, is that to begin with, we do not have a system that appropriately funds the schools that we already have in place. And so what that means, and that also extends to early childhood education, because we know that, you know, the younger we can get children in school, you know, we were talking about 3 and 4 year olds, the better the outcomes. So which I'll add, that is another indicator that we track in education. Young children between the ages of 3 and 4 that are not in school, that didn't change at all. So what this is really calling out for is the need to seriously look at the data, look at what these outcomes and these metrics are telling us about our state's priority. You know, the budget should reflect the priorities, and right now children aren't making the cut. If we just go based off of what the Kids Count report is telling us, you know, yes, across education, across economic well-being, but also across health and the family and community context, which, you know, by the way, was ranked among the lowest, 47th. Compared to the rest of the country. So there certainly is a connection, and there is a microscope. We're asking for a microscope on this data to truly help guide investment and policy in the next legislative session.
Here's a quote from the report. This lack of readiness will result in major harm to the nation's economy and to our youth as they join the workforce. Up to $35 trillion in U.S. economic activity hinges on helping young people overcome learning loss from the last pandemic. But of course, it's not just the pandemic that is causing this problem. It's having a education system that's funded at its bare bones. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, continue to talk about this Kids Count report, talk about what the coming legislative session can do with some public policy solutions to help all children in Texas reach their potential, be successful, be healthy, be secure. Their number to call in with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The Source continues right after this.
Support for TPR comes from Jingu House in the Japanese Tea Garden, featuring Asian cuisine with a San Antonio twist. Open for lunch 7 days a week. View the menu at jinguhousesatx.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the latest Kids Count report, seeing that children in Texas are dealing with many serious challenges and disruptions to their lives. They're still recovering from the COVID-19 pandemic. Children of color, in particular, are disproportionately impacted by the disease and the economic crisis and the isolation that this created. And we're not doing a good job of bouncing back from that. In fact, we continue to sink. And these are, you know, these missteps are compounded over time. If we don't fix them now, fixing them later just gets worse and worse if they can be fixed at all. So there needs to be a sense of urgency in identifying, addressing, and being able to explain to our policymakers, our lawmakers, why this needs to happen immediately. We're joined by Coda Ray Ogarza, the Research and Data Director for Every Texan, but I want to go to a caller, and this is Jean. And hi, Jean, you're on the air.
Hi, my comment is about the billionaires. Texas disproportionately has the most billionaires of any state in the United States. And is it the tax law or what is going on that they have so many billionaires and such a difference between them and our economic system and the people getting paid in our education system?
Jean, thank you so much for that question. So, Coda Ray Ogarza, it's not because there's a lack of resources that we have these problems. It's just that they're not being put in the right, we're not being invested in the right areas.
That's right. You know, the state fundamentally, it boils down to the legislative priorities of the body in charge. But I will also add, you know, something that's really critical to consider. This year, the Annie Casey Foundation included, outside of what we traditionally track, two additional measures. And so the reason I bring those up is because perhaps we need to really start thinking about funding and investing in children in a more comprehensive and holistic narrative. So the NEKC added, tracking adverse childhood experiences. And so those include things like a family's economic hardship, if a child has parents who have divorced, experiencing neighborhood violence, if a parent has served time in jail.
Multiple evictions, that's the problem.
Exactly, yes, being treated unfairly due to race or ethnicity. And the thing is that with these childhood experiences, we know statistically that there is a connection between those experiences and school performance. For example, one study that looked at parental incarceration showed that it's actually a significant predictor of grade repetition, as well as economic hardship also affecting being able to complete homework and just the general desire to succeed in school. So when we talk about these issues, always, with a more comprehensive lens, then we need to have the conversation with policymakers and legislators about, yes, investing in equitably funding our school system, but there are other things, right? Wraparound services is another important component, access to mental health, access to, health care, because all of those things matter. And then the last thing I'll add is the other component that the NEKC added this year is chronic absenteeism, which is super critical. A child is chronically absent if they've missed 10% or more of the school year, and it doesn't matter the reason. But we know that at that rate, it has a significant impact on academic progress. So that means that children who are chronically absent have a harder time learning to read by third grade. They have a harder time being successful academically in middle school, and ultimately they have a harder time graduating from high school. So when we look at what is known as, the long arm of childhood and these childhood experiences, then we want to come up with policy solutions at every stage of that child's journey into graduation and beyond.
Is this a problem that can be broken down like, oh, this is a inner city situation, or is this something that's also happening in the rural parts of Texas or cities that are less than 100,000? Is poverty across the state of Texas?
Yeah, we look at the data in the aggregate, but what we know as well is that, while there may be differences, whether it's rural, urban, what we know overall is that regardless of that, as a state, we're just not doing well. So while policy solutions, they're going to need a tailored approach, the bigger picture is that overall we need to focus. We need to bring in, we need to sort of shift the focus to identifying what we know works, whether it is at an urban or rural school district. And we know that a big one right now is funding. And access to the services that students need.
Well, we know that in rural areas, poverty can be particularly grinding, because if you don't have access to a vehicle, then mm-hmm. you can't access services, or you may not be able to get to school as often. And, you don't have that support structure, like that are, it's easier to deliver public services in a highly concentrated area like the inner city. So, it does seem like the rural areas, it's invisible, but it's not, but it's definitely there. I'm going to go to a caller. Let's go to Karen. And Karen, you're on the air.
This is like the voice crying in the wilderness. Until we can change the status of our gubernatorial and legislative branches, nothing was going to change.
All right, Karen, thank you for that call. I don't know about changing the lawmakers themselves, but maybe we can change the minds of the people who are there. So, Coda, what kind of discussions are you having?
Yeah, I agree with you, David. I think, what's important is that we continue the conversation, continue to advocate for children, that we continue to bring light to, the different experiences and intersections at which children are at that are, you know, leading to these outcomes. And so the more that we can shift the narrative, you know, as I said, shift the narrative to make it more about the whole experience and all of the different components that go into Texas, you know, and child well-being, the better, because you know, children need advocates. And so our hope is that with consistent, reliable data, in addition to being able to collect those stories so that we can advocate, that is the strategy right now.
Right, because these kids are not going to go away. These kids are here. And if we're, this is the future of Texas. Let's go to another caller, Randy. And hey, Randy, you're on the air.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'm a former teacher, by the way, and I never really thought of my role as being a job preparation or anything. But be that as it may, maybe the picture is bigger here, where the policymakers presently giving children the short shrift isn't really their education, but really focusing in on the end game of religious socialization. In other words, with the voucher program and all that, getting public money to boost their specific interests so that in an age of burgeoning AI, that their tribalism of religious organizations will enable that those that have come up to those ranks to get the choice jobs and the rest of them can fare for themselves. And they really don't care about them, as evidenced by the current state of affairs.
Randy, thank you for the call. So, Coda, do you see vouchers as something that would even worsen the situation we have now?
Yes, I do. And I think we have strong statistical evidence that is the case. And so those are, you know, some of those distractions that I mentioned earlier that are not going to get at the root of the issue.
So we are in election season now, but this would be the opportunity to talk to your lawmakers and let them know that you want public schools funded. How are you trying to take advantage of this window that we have presently, Coda?
Yeah, we're really grateful that we have local partners, you know, here in San Antonio that support Kids Count advocacy and the work we're doing and have been doing for many years, for decades. And so we're going to continue to produce the data. We're going to continue to ensure that we are pulling the latest, most timely information, and that we're sharing that narrative with the community so that they can have the resources they need for their organizations or for their advocacy efforts, so that they can use that. You know, as you said, it's a good time to speak to your representative and ask for that focus on what Texas children need.
And what should they tell them? I mean, give me the script. What do you say? Hey, you know, lawmaker running for reelection, can you please protect our public schools?
Yeah. So I mean, it would certainly be that, but it would also be, you know, there's a concerning trend that we have seen. We cannot solely attribute to the pandemic, which is that the academic performance in terms of reading and math proficiency for Texas's children is worsening, and we need to do something about that now. For some of, you know, for the folks that maybe are more sort of thinking about this in terms of Texas's economy, then we present the narrative that is indicative of Texas's future workforce, which is going to impact our overall economic well-being. So truly preparing children now, who by the numbers, it's not looking like we're doing a good job to fill those jobs to benefit the state and all of us.
Coda Rayo Garza is a research and data director at Every Texan. She's been telling us about the latest Kids Count report, which is grim for Texas youth. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies. Kayla Padilla is our booking and engagement producer. Engineering support from Ruben Garcia, Jesse Reeves, and Steve Short. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.